You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul, a nice warm Wednesday afternoon here in Johannesburg. And we find ourselves today, the date is the 25th day of Elul. And it's a very significant date because the 25th of Elul is actually the anniversary of the creation of the world. According to our holy tradition, God created the world on this day 5,778 years ago. And although this is the anniversary of creation of the world, it's not Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is on the anniversary of the creation of human beings. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of human beings who are the center, who are the pinnacle, who are the focus of this universe, even though the world was created 6 days earlier. And so with today being so close to Rosh Hashanah, and we all are feeling the energy of the significance of the new year of Rosh Hashanah, which we will be discussing, let's share some ideas about what we should be thinking about, why Rosh Hashanah is such an important, powerful day, and how it is that we succeed and take up the great opportunity that Rosh Hashanah presents us with. Rosh Hashanah is, according to our holy tradition, that everything follows, Hakol Holech Achar HaRosh, everything follows the beginning, and therefore the first 48 hours of the year are vital and critical. They really are the genes of the whole year, they're the DNA, and everything else that follows in the year is built on the genetic code of these 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is a time of judgment. So we take it very seriously, and we regard these first 48 hours of the year as being extremely vital and significant for the coming year. And therefore, there's a number of different traditions as a result that actually fit into this. One of them being is the Simanei Milsa, the Simanim we have on first night Rosh Hashanah, where we take certain food items and their name has an implication of some sort of positive aspect of our coming year, and we say Yehi Ratzon, a declaration before. We do these kind of things because we understand that we want as much positivity to take place in our lives, in our homes, in our world, in these critical, vital 48 hours, which are the genetic code of the whole year. And that's why also brought down in Halacha, we should make a great effort not to get angry on Rosh Hashanah. We should not lose our cool. In those 48 hours, we should never lose our cool, but in particular, we should work hard on not becoming angry, on not speaking Lashon Hara, of not being involved in senseless things, in things that waste our time. We're using these 48 hours to the maximum in order that they will be the foundation of a positive year, please God, for all of us. And the truth is that there's a tremendous din, a judgment that's taking place in the world. That God is judging, God is looking. It's the spiritual year end. Like you have a financial year end, this is the spiritual year end. God looks at creation, and God looks at every single creature in creation, and God decides about the future of that creature and how that being, that creature, whatever it may be, fits into the bigger picture, and what its role is going to be going forward based on the performance in the past. And it's quite a scary thing, isn't it? It's quite frightening that every single creature in this world is being judged on Rosh Hashanah, and God is reassessing the whole game plan, the whole universe and everything in it. And obviously, with as much that we want, isn't there? There's much that we need. And if we think that we are perfectly self-sufficient and that we can take care of ourselves and don't need God's help, then we're really in trouble. Because as we all know, we are very vulnerable creatures. And none of us knows what tomorrow will bring. And we are very much dependent on God's blessings and God's kindness when it comes to our physical health, when it comes to our mental state, when it comes to the safety of our lives and that of our families, when it comes to our parnosa, everything in life. We depend very much on God's kindness and God's blessings that hopefully will assist us. So we need to be thinking about what is it that God wants of us on this critical day, because God is now deciding where we're going and what our future is going to be. And we need to work out how to navigate through these dangerous times, because Rosh Hashanah really is a sakona. It really is a danger for all of us and for for the future of our lives. So why is it, a very good question one could ask, it's a question that's actually asked by Rabbi Avigdor Miller, why is it, Zatzal of blessed memory, that on Rosh Hashanah we don't list what our transgressions are, what our averes are, and we don't do tshuva, we don't do a vidui, like on Yom Kippur, we do a vidui, which is a confession. It means we identify the particular transgressions that we've been involved in, and we say what they are, and we're supposed to have the three steps of tshuva, which is saying what you did wrong, having true remorse that you did that wrong, and kabbalah not to do it again. So the vidui, the declaration of that transgression, is only one of the three steps of tshuva. But hopefully we're supposed to be doing all three on Yom Kippur and wiping the slate clean. One by one, we're wiping away those transgressions as avers. Why on the day of judgment on Yom HaDin aren't we doing that? On the day where we're being scrutinized, where God's looking at us, where God's deciding about the year, why are we not removing our transgressions? Wouldn't that be an appropriate response to the reality of what's going on around us? And the answer is that we are asking Hashem to forgive us and to wipe clear our sins, but in a different form. The greatest of all averus, the greatest of all transgressions, is the error of forgetting Hashem, of forgetting God. And how does it help a person, even if a person does mitzvahs and learns Torah, but doesn't think about Hashem, doesn't have Hashem in the forefront of that person's consciousness? So then we're really missing the whole point. My Rebbe, Rabbi Beryl Wine, often says that it's very important that in a shul, you don't forget about Hashem. It's a very true statement, because there's often so much going on, and there are people involved, and their personalities, and their issues, and there's a lot of activity, and it's important we don't forget about Hashem. So it's the same thing in our lives. We are not to forget. And that is the main focus of our lives. So Rosh Hashanah is a day where we come back to that consciousness, is a day where we are concerned about the greatest of all sins. Hisham lecha pen tishkach pen yishkach es Hashem lukecha. That we should, the Torah tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, be careful, be very careful, lest you forget about Hashem your God. And that's the main focus of the day of Rosh Hashanah, is to remind ourselves who is the king, to remind ourselves that God controls the world, and to recalibrate ourselves in that way of thinking and in that way of behaving. And we say Hashem is the king, Hashem Melech. Hashem is the king of the entire world. And that makes Rosh Hashanah very different to all the other Chagim, all the other Yomim Tovim. Rosh Hashanah is very different to Pesach, and very different to Shavuos, and very different to Sukkot, because Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. And our sages tell us, Rosh Hashanah, kol ma'ad dekaif inish, da'atei tefei male. As much as we can humble ourselves in Rosh Hashanah, the more we can humble ourselves in the presence of Hashem, the greater it is for us. And that's our work on Rosh Hashanah. And that's a fundamental principle, not only in the Torah, but in all of creation, that we've come into this world for one single purpose. We've come into this world to gain awareness of God. Elohim asa sheyira milfanav. That God created everything we see around us and all the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in order that we will fear God. In order that we, every phenomenon in nature and every situation in this world is seen in order that we will have an awe and reverence for God's presence. So the more reverence, the more Yiras Shamayim that we can generate, the more we become wealthy in this very valuable possession, the most valuable possession of all. And so that's the focus, and that's the work, and that's what's vital to our existence, is realizing that there's a king in the world and that we pledge allegiance to that king. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're talking about Rosh Hashanah, and the focus of the day of Rosh Hashanah is coming back to the most important principle in our lives, and that is there's a God who created the world. And we were created for the purpose of connecting to God, of building a relationship with God. That's why we're here. That's why God sent our soul down to this world, into this physical body. We're not here to enjoy our food, and we're not here to make a lot of money, and we're not here to enjoy other pleasures that this world offers. The reason why we're here is to be able to forge a relationship with our Creator. And it's not a simple thing to achieve, not a simple thing to do. But as Jews, we have such a clear pathway, and we have the Torah that guides us. It's a framework that facilitates that relationship and helps us reach out and connect to the divine, which is not a simple thing to do. We know that the Jewish people, when they went through the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, and they made it to the other side after the sea had opened up for them, and then the Egyptians followed and the sea crashed down and drowned the Egyptians. So that was a moment of tremendous divine inspiration that every single Jew perceived. And as a result, they sang in unison together Shir HaSayam, the famous and great song at the sea. They sang Ashir El HaShem Ki Goga, I'll sing to HaShem because He has raised me up, He has made me great. And there's a certain principle in Jewish law that says that whenever there's a legal document, a document that's binding by halacha, the last line of that document has to summarize what the essence, what the gist of that document is about. So you'll find that any legal halacha document has a bottom line that encapsulates the essence of that document. So what's the last line? By the way, that's why we say the bottom line. What's the bottom line? It's all about the bottom line, which really captures what the main focus is. The bottom line, the last line of Shir HaSayam, of that inspirational moment when the Jewish people sang that song together in unison, is Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, that God will rule forever. Hashem is the King who will rule over the world forever. And that's the main focus on Rosh Hashanah, that there's a master of the universe and we are all under his direct control. And by repeating this again and again on Rosh Hashanah, so each time it penetrates further into our being, each time it becomes more real and more palpable to us. And the purpose of everything that happens in our lives is to make us fear Hashem, is to make us realize there's a God, is to generate a relationship between us and God. The wise person, Pirkei Avos says, Ezehu Chacham, who's the wise person? Haloimed mikol Adam, who learns from everybody. So the wise person, the circumstances in our life are God-sent in order to wake us up, in order to prod us, in order to push us in the right direction. But the wise person would learn from the experiences of others. So we see that there's many wonderful things and there's a lot of difficulty and many challenges in the world around us. The wise one will take note of what's going on to all human beings and will learn from those experiences where they won't have to happen to that person. For example, we see that there's death in the world and we see there's illness in the world. And we see that people have financial challenges and difficulties. So the wise person will learn from those experiences around them without having it to be necessary to take place in their own personal life. And that's what we call Yiras Hashem at a bargain price. Learning Yiras Hashem without having to suffer in order to get there. And that's what life is really about, is God is showing us and leading us and talking to us and prodding us in order to go to in the right direction and in order to come to the conclusion that Elohim Asa Shira Milfanav, that God created everything in the world in order that we will have Yiras Shamayim, in order that we'll have awe and reverence of God and build a relationship with God. So that's the main focus of the day. And if you take note, you'll see that that is really the central theme in all of the davening, in our prayer. And that also is the central theme of the shofar, the mitzvah of the day of Rosh Hashanah, is we're crowning God as our King. Where when we hear the shofar being blown, we need to have kavanah that we're fulfilling a Torah commandment, and we need to have kavanah, we need to have in mind that we are crowning God as our King in the depths of our being, in the depth of our heart, that God is the King of the world, and I pledge allegiance to that God. But in order to succeed in this frightening din, this judgment that's taking place on Rosh Hashanah, the starting point really is to appreciate all that Hashem does for us. Because if somebody is the recipient of a gift and they don't say thank you for that gift, it's very unlikely that that person will give them a gift again. So before the starting point, before we can ask for a new year, before we can ask Hashem to bless us with a new year, with good things in our new year. So we have to appreciate all that God has given us in the past year. And we have to appreciate those things that we take for granted. We have to appreciate that my heart beats. My heart beats every day, every second of every day. And I don't need a pacemaker. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that wonderful that I've got a healthy, functioning heart? I have kidneys that are working properly. And I don't need to go on dialysis 3 times a week. Isn't that a great joy? I don't even know it's happening. Automatically it's happening. Isn't that a great blessing that God blesses us with? That we go to the bathroom and everything works and it functions and we are able to have a body that is able to get rid of that which the waste that it doesn't want and extract the nutrients that it does need. Isn't that incredible that we can go to the bathroom? Are we grateful for that? Do we say the Brocha Asher Yatzar with Kavona? We breathing. Isn't breathing a great gift, a great delight? Go underwater for 2 minutes. You come out and you take that first breath. Oh, that's such a machaya, it's such a pleasure. As the last Pasuk in Tehillim says, Kol Hanashama Tahalelka, that every soul should bless Hashem. The Sfasemes says, don't read Kol Hanashama, but Kol Hanashima. Every breath says Hallel to God, is praising God, because every breath is a great gift. We open our eyes and we see a world of motion and a world of color with a clarity that's much greater than the most sophisticated HD screen that we could buy. These two cameras in our head, which are called eyes, and we have sight. So many blessings that Hashem showers upon us. So the starting point of Rosh Hashanah is appreciating the blessings received in the past year, all the meals that we ate, and all the pleasures that we enjoyed that Hashem gave us, and the fact that our organs were all functioning. So if we have that appreciation, we already are in the game. We already are, you know, thanking Hashem for all the blessings, and then maybe we'll be able to receive those blessings again. So Rosh Hashanah is about understanding that God is the center of the world. We come back to that consciousness and realization. We remind ourselves of that all-important factor for which we were created, and that is to recognize God and to see God in the world. And we need to start out by being grateful for all that God does for us. And also, something else that's very important is we need to come in with something that is of benefit to us. In other words, we don't enter into this dangerous time empty-handed. Because that is a big risk. We need to come prepared and to have something to show for ourselves. The pasuk says, the verse says, Su'u mincha uva'u lefanav. Bring your mincha, bring your offering to God and enter into his presence. Hishtachavu la'Hashem b'hadras kodesh. And then you can prostrate to Hashem in his holy domain. So it's not enough that we just bow to Hashem and we thank Hashem for all the blessings that we received and acknowledge that God is the King. But we also need to come with something. The King has many subjects in his kingdom, and those subjects need to pay taxes to the King. But the King is extremely wealthy. Those taxes they pay are small, are pittance. They don't have much significance to the wealth of the King. But it doesn't matter. By paying the taxes, we show that we're loyal to the King and that we are paying a tribute to the King. So what are the taxes we pay? We commit ourselves to serving Hashem. We commit ourselves to doing Hashem's mitzvahs, fulfilling Hashem's commandments. Hopefully we observe the mitzvahs, but if we don't, we should all pick one thing that we can keep, one mitzvah that we can take on, which will show Hashem that we're sincere and that we're genuine and that we're playing our part, that we are paying tribute to the King. By the King doesn't need us. God doesn't need our mitzvahs. But the mitzvahs show that in the depth of our being, we acknowledge that God is the King of the world. That's the opportunity for all of the mitzvahs. So if we're working on taking on mitzvahs, what a great time to do it, Rosh Hashanah. Come into Rosh Hashanah and commit oneself to kashrus. Commit oneself to Shmirah Shabbos, to keeping Shabbos. Commit oneself to Taras HaMishpacha, to keeping the laws of family purity. Commit oneself to dressing in a modest way and using the great power of the human body in the right way, to channel it in the right way. Commit oneself to davening in a minyan, or to davening at all. Commit oneself to learning Torah, to be koveya itim the Torah, to have a consistent seder, consistent time for learning Torah every day or once or twice a week. So to come in with those commitments is very powerful and significant, and it's a very good idea that we all are able to do so. And if a person is already Shomer Mitzvahs, there's so much that we all have to work on. We have to work on our Lashon Hara. We have to work on our Kavona in davening. We have to work on our consciousness of Hashem's presence, of connecting to Hashem in a deep and proper way by saying our brachas properly. There's so much work to do for all of us. And if we smart and think about it, and that's what holy people do. Holy people sit and think that what is the next stage in my growth? What's the next thing for me to take on? And they take on something, but it's not too big that it's unrealistic and it's beyond my ability and capacity to sustain. It's got to be something that we're going to commit ourselves to and fulfill that the whole year. And to that next Rosh Hashanah, we could come and say, look, Hashem, look what I've got. I committed, I made that commitment, and I delivered on that commitment. Wow, that's a life well lived. That's something that's powerful and worthwhile. So we all need to think about this before Rosh Hashanah and enter into Rosh Hashanah. A serious Yom Tshuva, Yom Kippur, with a Kabbalah, with something that we take upon ourselves, which is the next step in our growth and something that we will stick to and we will, it'll be sustained by us throughout the year. So what are we doing the whole day? So far we've discussed that Rosh Hashanah is the focus is making Hashem our King once more. That we've discussed that Rosh Hashanah is about appreciating all the blessings that Hashem gives us. And Rosh Hashanah is about taking something on in order to pay tribute to the king. But one of the things we do throughout Rosh Hashanah is we daven. And we daven hard. We're praying. And part of the process of the praying, they're beautiful, powerful prayers that our sages set up, which express these ideas that I'm talking about, express our gratitude and express our commitment to acknowledging that God is king of the world. And a lot of what we're doing too is we're asking for life. There's six additions that we make to the Shmoneh Esrei, to the Amidah, both on Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Zachreinu L'chaim, we ask Hashem, remember us for life. V'kasfeinu b'sefer Rachaim, and write us. What does it mean, life? Remember us for life. What kind of life are we referring to? What are we asking Hashem for on this very important day? So let's try and understand with a little bit of depth what that's referring to. Now, obviously, it's referring to basic life that we want to live and want to have the privilege of living in God's beautiful world, but it's a lot deeper than that. There's a Gemara in Tamid, a famous Gemara about Alexander Mukdon. Alexander Mukdon, that's what he's called in the Gemara, Alexander of Macedonia, which is Alexander the Great. And the Gemara says that Alexander the Great called together the Chachamim. When Alexander conquered any place and he conquered most of the civilized world, so usually he was quite brutal in his conquest and his occupation of those countries that he conquered. There's one exception, and that is Yerushalayim. When Alexander came to Yerushalayim, he was very compassionate and he was very kind to the citizens, to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. One of the reasons is the Gemara says that when he went out to battle, he had a vision of a man, and that inspired him to succeed in the many battles that he fought. And when he came to Yerushalayim, that man came out with Shimon HaTzadik, was the Kohen Gadol and the leader of the Jewish people at the time. And because of Shimon HaTzadik, he treated the Jews with at the request of Shimon HaTzadik, treated the Jews with care and compassion. So he gathered together, the Gemara says, the Chachamim, the sages. And he said to them, Ma yase adam v'yichye. What should a person do and that person will live? What should a person do in order to live? So the sages answer Alexander and they say, Yamus es atzmoi, that a person should kill the atzmo. What does that mean, kill? Yamus es atzmo, kill themselves. So Rashi says it means yachnia es atzmo, that a person in order to live life, one has to humble oneself in the presence of God. And the Maharsha says, what's atzmo? That's remove, detach oneself from the pleasures that exist in this world. Now, Alexander wasn't asking them, what should a person do to live and have a good time in this world? Alexander knew the answer to that question much better than the sages knew the answer. There's no question about it. Alexander was saying, how does one connect to real life? What does one do to live a meaningful life of purpose? A life when one touches on that which is beyond themselves, that which is eternal. And Chazal was saying that that spirit, that's called the spiritual life. And the way we access that spiritual life is, according to Rashi, by controlling our egos, by humbling ourselves in Hashem's presence. When we're arrogant and we're full of ourselves, and often we come across people that are very full of themselves. So there's no space for Hashem in that world, because they so, it's all about them. It's all about their needs, it's all about their drives, it's all about their success, it's all about their family. There's no space. We need to humble ourselves and allow Hashem into our headspace and into our world. That's one way we connect to real life, says the Chachamim. And the other way is remove ourselves from the physical drives and desires. This world and the physical nature of this world is very strong, it's very powerful, and very engaging. And we could lose ourselves in the pursuit of our passions and the pleasures that exist. So we need to stop ourselves. We need to learn to say no. We need to be able to have self-control. And when we control ourselves, so then we are able to live in a world where other things will exist and feature. And that's when we can connect to spirituality and to spiritual life. So Chaim, this life that we're asking for in Rosh Hashanah, is a recognition that there's a God and that our finite physical world is subject to God's control, to the control that God has over the world. We'll continue to discuss this in a moment when we return after this break.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're discussing the importance of our performance on Rosh Hashanah. And one of the things we're doing is we're asking for life. We ask Hashem to grant us life. What kind of life are we referring to? The Sfas Emes, the great and holy Chassidic Rebbe, the Sfas Emes, he says that when we say these words, Zachreinu l'chaim melech chafetz chaim, remember us for life, the king who desires life. So he says we're referring to the creation of the first human being, of Adam HaRishon. So as I mentioned, today, the 25th of Elul, is the anniversary of the creation of the world. But Rosh Hashanah, which is Monday, Sunday night Monday, is the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Chava, of Adam and Eve. And we know that when Adam was created, so the Pasuk, the Torah tells us that Hashem breathed a living soul into him. V'yipach ba'apav nishmas chaim. Hashem breathed that soul into Adam. And the same day that Hashem breathed that soul into Adam gets renewed every year. And Hashem gives a part of himself to all of us on that same day. That neshama that Hashem breathes, which is really a part of Hashem, a slither of the divine that Hashem breathed into Adam on the day that Adam was created, is that neshama that Hashem breathes into every single one of us on Rosh Hashanah. And neshama means a spiritual life that Rosh Hashanah is about connecting to that spiritual side of our being, and that because that is the day that God transformed Adam's body into an neshama, into a holy being. So on this day of renewal, that's what is available for us. And as much as we reach out and want that spiritual life that Hashem is granting on the day of Rosh Hashanah, so that's how much Hashem will give it to us. The Gemara in Brochas says, Tzadikim b'misasan kruim chaim, that righteous individuals, in their death they called living life. Why? Because a righteous person who lives a life in which spirituality and their soul is a focus and is a big part of their being, and in fact the decisions they make are made coming from the soul and not from the body, not from the guf. So such an individual, when they leave their body behind and their body is buried in the ground, and it's just their soul that's left, the transition is not so great. The shock to the system is not so traumatic, because that's how they've been living their whole life. So therefore, that's what it means, that they are kruim chaim, that they're called alive even when they leave this world. And that's what the malchuyos of Rosh Hashanah is about. On Rosh Hashanah, we crowning God as our king, and that means we're choosing spiritual life. We're choosing a chaim, that a life in which we control our ego, in which we control our desires, in which we allow the soul to soar, and in which the soul is leading us. And that really is the din of Rosh Hashanah. That's the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. That when we're saying, Zachrein l'chaim menes chafetz b'chaim, remember us for life, as much as we are committing ourselves to that, to spirituality and to spiritual life, that's what we're being judged on the day of Rosh Hashanah. We're not asking for another year that we can fulfill our desires and have a good time and chill out. We're asking for a year in which Hashem connects us to spirituality and to spiritual life. And if we want it, so Hashem will grant it to us. If we don't want it, so we won't take it. That's what's on offer on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem blows that living soul as he did into Adam at the beginning of creation. Hashem blows it into all of us on that day. And that's what we need to be conscious of and wanting on Rosh Hashanah. And everything really stems from that. From that spiritual life comes everything else. Everything else is a consequence. Our health, our pranosa, the money we make, the families that we have. It's all generates from that spiritual core that is being renewed and refreshed on Rosh Hashanah. And that's the depth behind the din of Rosh Hashanah. We're being judged on how much do we want the spiritual life. You know, so for example, let's say there's a special on Takealot. There's a 70% special on all electronic items. So you've got to switch on your computer or switch on your phone and make an order. If you make the order, you're going to save a lot of money. If you don't switch on your phone and computer and don't make the order, you're going to miss out. So that's what's on offer on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is offering spiritual life. And if we switched on and if we connected to the right things, so we will be granted that spiritual life. And we'll be granted that spiritual life at a great bargain. On this day, it's on offer like no other day in the year. And that's actually the depth behind what the sages tell us, that we judged for our performance on Rosh Hashanah by Asher Husham. It says with Yishmael that Yishmael was judged on how he was on that day. That's why Hashem saved him. And that's the Torah reading on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because Hashem judges us on how we are on the day. So even previously in the year, if we didn't perform so well and we, you know, don't have such a great track record, but if on the day itself we're sincere and genuine, and we want to crown God as our king on that day, and we accept that God is the master of the universe and we are coming to serve the king, so then we want that spiritual connection, we want that spiritual life that Alexander the Great was talking about. What is spiritual life? If we on the day tuned into that, so then we granted that spiritual life. And that's what the pasuk in the Torah says. Atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kolchem hayom. You, all those that cling to Hashem, your God, chayim kolchem hayom. You will have chayim. You will be granted life. And that means a life of spirituality, a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life that is eternal and supersedes this finite physical world. And that's the malchuyos. When we're doing that, we're making Hashem our king. We're declaring that Hashem is our king. The Yetzer Hara tells us, you know, what are you doing? Oh, gosh. You're going again to Rosh Hashanah and you're going through the motions and you're going to hear the shofar and, you know, it doesn't really make any difference, does it? You know, and anyway, how different are you to last year? You're the same old person who gives into the same easy, quick desires without much self-control. That's the Yetzer Hara talking. The truth is all of us have a tremendous opportunity on Rosh Hashanah. We all should go to shul. We all should go to an Orthodox shul. We should all daven. Make sure you have a machzor, a machzor with a good English translation if you don't understand the Hebrew. We should all have an art scroll machzor and understand the prayers, say them in English, understand what you're saying, listen to that shofar, and have in mind the kavona, the intention that you're declaring God as your king, that God runs the world, that we want to connect to spirituality and to that spiritual life. That is the incredible power that Rosh Hashanah presents, it has, and that's the opportunity that we all have. So we shouldn't view it as, oh gosh, you know, here we go again, and how am I going to make it through this? We should realize that it's a great opportunity, and we need to switch ourselves on spiritually and have the right intentions. And if we do so, so then God will grant us as much as we want. God will give us in terms of reaching out for a life of spirituality and connecting to God. So it's really up to us. The ball's in our court. And in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll all be successful in doing so. And God will bless us with a wonderful year of good health and of prosperity and of nachas from our families. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Here's a community announcement from Prudential Investment Managers for you. A strong community is one of life's greatest assets. When considering your financial assets, always look for a manager who who can deliver consistently. As far as your family, as you and your family enter into the new year, all of us at Prudential Investment Managers wish you good health, financial security, and peace of mind. Contact Prudential Investment Managers via our website, www.prudential.co.za. I wanted to end off before we enter. This is our last show of the year. So I'd like to end off on a high note and discuss that which we're doing most of the day on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, these critical days where we're being judged by the creator of the universe. So what do we do in these days? And by the way, it's a great gift to know that. Most of the world doesn't know. Everybody in the world is being judged. Most of the world is not aware of that and therefore are not able to defend themselves effectively while the judgment is going on. As Jews, we have the great blessing of Rosh Hashanah, and we know that God is beginning the judgment on these days, and the judgment ends on Yom Kippur, and so we're given a chance to show Hashem that we're for real, and that we want a part of His spiritual world, and that we are connected to the purpose for which we're created, and that is connecting to God, and that is reverence for God. And so what do we do most of the day? We daven, we're praying. Because davening, prayer, is a very powerful activity. And prayer actually transforms who we are. So by davening, we change ourselves. And God sees the change going on within us. And that's what is for our great benefit while we are being judged. So I want to share with you a beautiful story about prayer, which really displays, which expresses to us how powerful prayer is. And how we should respect it and we should use it in a clever way and understand that we have a great weapon that Hashem has given us in the form of prayer. This story is a true story I heard from Rabbi Pesach Kron. And Rabbi Kron tells of a young man who was a madrich at Camp Simcha. Camp Simcha is a wonderful camp that takes place in the United States. My niece just was a madricha for the girls on the camp. And they offer the camp to kids that are very ill, kids that have a terminal illness. And they want to give these kids a great experience, a great time. And they therefore try and offer everything possible to give the kids a very special, memorable 2 weeks of camp. And there's a boys' camp and then for 2 weeks, and then there's a girls' camp for 2 weeks. And there was a young man who was a madrich on the boys' camp. He was a person who had cancer when he was young, and he, Baruch Hashem, had treatment that was successful. He was in remission. He was 22 years old. And then in the girls' camp, there was a girl who also had been through similar experiences, and she also, unfortunately, had cancer, but the treatment was successful and was also in remission. So one of the managers of the camp thought, well, maybe it's a good shidduch. Maybe we should introduce this boy to this girl. And so they introduced them, and they got on very well, and they went on a few dates, and things, you know, were looking very good. And eventually, these two got engaged. And before the wedding, the young man who was from Melbourne, Australia, said to his bride, he said, I have to go back to Melbourne, and I have to sort out a few things before we get married. And the night before you went, they had a date, and everything was great, and things were really looking good. The flight from New York to Melbourne is a very long one. Johannesburg, Melbourne's long, but New York, Melbourne is much longer. It's about 24 hours. First, you have to fly across America to the West Coast to LA. And then there's a flight LA to Melbourne, and it goes across the international dateline. You lose a day. It's very grueling, the journey. And this young man got onto the flight. He got onto his connection in LA. And while he was on the flight to Melbourne from LA, his bride, unfortunately, took a turn for the worse, and she became very, very ill, and she lost consciousness, and she was on her deathbed, and they wanted to try to get hold of him, but obviously he's flying on the plane, they can't get hold of him, so they were able to get hold of the pilot, and they told the pilot that as soon as they land in Melbourne, he needs to go to this young man and tell him that his bride is very, very ill. And he needs to get on the flight, which was in an hour's time, back to LA from Melbourne. And all of his luggage would be taken care of. Everything would be sorted. He just needs to get onto that flight and fly back. So the pilot does so. And obviously he's devastated. And as soon as he turns around and gets back on the flight, he must be absolutely exhausted, all the traveling. When he arrived in LA, he called his rabbi and he told his rabbi, I'm flying to New York and they tell me she's very ill. Please meet me at the hospital and I want to marry her. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to marry her before anything happens. And the rabbi said, of course I'll do so. And so when this boy lands in New York, he goes straight to the hospital. The rabbi's there and he wants to have a marriage ceremony. He wants to marry her while she's in this hospital bed. And the rabbi says to him, I'm so sorry, I can't. That in order for a marriage to be valid, according to halacha, the woman has to be conscious and aware of what's going on and accept this transaction. If she's not fully compass mentis, if she's not fully lucid, so it's an invalid ceremony. One, I cannot carry out such a ceremony. And so the boy was obviously heartbroken and devastated. And he went into the next room. And it was the morning. He hadn't davened shacharis yet. He put on his tefillin and he started davening. And he davened with such tremendous kavona. And we reached the point in Shmoneh Esrei in the Amidah that says, Ki bo'or panecha nasan lanu, because with the countenance of your face, Hashem, you gave us Torah, Chaim, Avos Chesed, you give us many things. He said, Hashem, please, with the countenance of your face, give my kala life. Please restore her. Please give her vitality and health. And let her come back to me. And he said these words with such intention and with such emotion and with tears streaming from down his face. And he finished his davening. He goes back into the room and suddenly there's been an amazing shift. And his bride has now got color in her face and she has energy. She wakes up and she talks to him and it's absolutely miraculous. The turnaround and the change. And from that moment, she got stronger and stronger. And he tells the story to Camp Simcha. He went back to Camp Simcha and told them the story. And while he's telling the story, two little kids come up on stage and they say, Abba, Abba, let's go. They've obviously heard the story many, many times. And this man married that woman. And today they have 5 healthy children and they're living a beautiful life together. So the strength, the power of tefillah is something we shouldn't underestimate and something that we shouldn't brush aside. We need to go to shul. We need to daven. We need to have kavona as best we can. We need to be sincere and genuine in the words that the beautiful prayers express and therefore daven in a language that you understand from a machzor that is in a language that is a translation that one can understand. So we recommend an art scroll machzor. And we have an opportunity to turn ourselves around, to change our lives, and to please God be blessed with a wonderful year. Thank you for listening. Wishing everybody a ksiva v'chasima toivah.